In the lectionary that we are currently using, which comes from an Anglican prayer book, I call this Sheep Sunday because we have talked about sheep before when we hit these readings. But I wanted to tell you some things I learned about sheep that I didn't know before. You know, most people think sheep are very stupid. Well, apparently Cambridge University a few years ago did a study on sheep, did an intelligence assessment of sheep. Now, I don't know how they do this. But they determined that sheep are smarter than a lot of animals. They put them on the same level with rodents. Believe me, I know from personal experience, rats are extremely smart. With rodents, with cows, and with monkeys. They are not stupid, but apparently they are extremely stubborn. And they have a tendency to do what they want to do. Now, within the sheep world, there is a pecking order. They're flock animals. And I didn't know until I researched this that it takes at least four sheep to make a flock. If you have three sheep, they won't behave like a flock. But if you have four, they will. And of course, the more the merrier. But what happens in this flock environment is the more aggressive animals, the more dominant animals are the ones who become the leaders, and the sheep will follow the leader. They like to follow a strong leader. Now, in the reading we had from Ezekiel today, this is a prophecy speaking about the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. And it's not just the return from Babylon, but it's the return from, as it says here, plural, all the countries where you've been scattered. And the Lord said, I will bring them back, and they will lie down, and they will find rich pasture. I will seek the lost and bring back the scattered, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. Now, the fat and the strong is a reference to these aggressive sheep who the other sheep have been following, but who in fact have led the flock astray. These sheep are the ones that God will bring judgment on because they have led the sheep away from the path that God intended them to follow. In this case, the nation of Israel was led astray and was deceived. But in the end, God will have mercy in that he will bring them back. And there will be one flock, he says, and one shepherd. And who is that shepherd? It's Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd. And we read this in John's gospel this morning. Jesus said, first of all, I am the door, meaning the door to the what? The house? No, the door to the sheep pen. Because after the sheep had been out grazing all day, they're brought back into an enclosure for their own protection. You know, sheep are almost defenseless. They don't have many natural defenses, and so they are subject to predators. And in the land of Israel, you had plenty of predators. First of all, you had lions. The lions were killed out during the time of the Crusades, but there were lions in Israel in biblical times. You had wolves. You still got wolves in Israel. I've actually seen a wolf in Israel up near Mount Carmel. You have got leopards. You've got plenty of leopards. Most of them today are in the southern part of the country, but back in biblical times, they were all over the country. You have got bears, the so-called Syrian bear, as he's called now, that used to prowl over the country. All of these animals would feed on sheep. You also have wild dogs. There's a wild dog, which is a distinct breed that lives in the Middle East. It's you can still see these dogs occasionally, but they would run in packs and they would often attack herds of sheep. And sheep were absolutely essential for the life of the people in biblical times. They ate the sheep for meat. They used the sheep's wool for clothing. They even drank the sheep's milk. So sheep were extremely important. And some of the central figures of Scripture have been shepherds. Abraham, David. David was a shepherd. And what did David earn his reputation for being a shepherd? What did he do that was of renown? Well, he killed Goliath, true. But Goliath was not a threat to the sheep, I don't think. Yeah, he killed predators who were trying to destroy the herd of sheep. So the main role of a shepherd, apart from guiding his flock to find food in green pastures, was to do what? Was to protect the flock. Now, in our epistle reading this morning, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24, it says, "He himself, speaking of Jesus, the good shepherd, bore our sins in his body on the cross." Now, Paul says, God made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, in order that we might receive the righteousness of God. That's the great exchange that occurred on the cross. Jesus takes our sins and he gives us his righteousness. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds or by his stripes, you have been healed. For you were continually straying like sheep. Apparently, one of the problems with sheep is if they follow these aggressive leaders, they will lead them away from the good pasture and would lead them into danger. Would lead them off where they can be picked off by a predator. You were continually straying, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the what of your souls? What's that word in Greek? Bishop. The shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now, those of you who are Anglican, some of you are old enough like me to remember this, the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. In the service for consecrating a bishop, what does a bishop promise to do? Yeah, he promises to be an overseer. But listen to this. This is a question that's asked of the candidate before he is set apart to be a bishop. He said, "Are you ready with all faithful diligence to banish and drive away from the church all erroneous and strange doctrines, contrary to God's word, and both privately and openly to call upon and encourage others to do the same?" So the bishop is more than just a pastor, he's a watchdog. That bishop is like, if you've ever seen these dogs working a herd of sheep. We were in New Zealand once and were able to observe these border collies. They're incredible animals. That's what a bishop is. He's like one of these dogs that's supposed to be running around, leading the sheep into green pasture, which means into places where they can be fed. And we as Christians are fed on what? We're fed on the Word of God. That's the only food there is. That is what builds us up, what nourishes us. It's what encourages us. It's what helps us to be transformed into the image of Jesus. So the bishop is supposed to be doing that, but he's also supposed to be guarding the flock and protecting it from, as it says here, strange and erroneous doctrines. This promise, believe it or not, was made by every single bishop in the Episcopal Church. But obviously didn't mean it. Otherwise, that we would not have been, I say we, speaking as a former Episcopalian, we would not have been open to the strange and erroneous doctrines which have actually captured the heart of the church. The Episcopal Church is a great example of that. But a true bishop stands in the feet or in the footprints of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd loves you so much that he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Thank you. That is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus said, I'm laying down my life voluntarily. Nobody is making me do this. I am choosing to die for you because I love you and because you matter to me. We can't begin to comprehend that sort of love, but that's what Jesus is saying here. And then he goes on to talk about the thief. And who is the thief? The thief is Satan. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, said Jesus, that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. The 23rd Psalm, which all of us know, it's one of the first things people learn from the Bible, is that perfect picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, leading us through the wilderness, through the valley of the shadow of death. And who is the author of death? Satan. He is the author of death. The New Testament spells it out clearly. The devil is behind death. But the Good Shepherd leads us through the valley of the shadow of death and makes a table for us in the presence of our enemies. One of the things about eating, for those of you who have dogs, you will appreciate this. If you stand too close to certain dogs when they're trying to eat, they don't like it. I've even known dogs to bite when you get too close to them if they're having a meal, because they feel threatened. They want to eat in peace. They want to eat knowing that their environment is safe. I'm not trying to imitate Emory University when I say that. But they want a safe environment. They want a place where they can feel they can eat without being bothered. Nobody's going to mess with their dinner. And so when the psalmist says that the Lord will prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies, it means that God is watching over us, that God is protecting us, and that no matter what the devil wants to do to us, God will deliver us. In fact, he already has delivered us. And what we celebrate on Sunday mornings is that great victory which he's won for us through his life, through his death on the cross, through his resurrection from the dead. Here is a hired hand, says Jesus. They want, when the enemy comes in, they're going to run away. They won't defend the flock. They won't stand up against the powers of darkness. He said, the hired hand flees because he's not concerned about the sheep. We're dealing with issues now in the contemporary church in the world, not just America, that are issues not of life and death, but of eternal life and death. This is not speaking about the death of the body. This is speaking about the death of the soul and permanent, eternal exclusion from the presence of God. New Testament has a word for that. It's called hell. And there's very little talk about it, but that is the fate that awaits those who turn their backs on Jesus. That is why this is so serious. This is more serious than any political issue facing this country at this moment, believe it or not. Because this has eternal consequences. And the choices that we make will determine our eternal destiny. Jesus promises, and he's speaking here to a group of Jewish people. He said, I have other sheep that are not part of this fold, meaning all of us who are not Jewish. And I need to bring them in also. And they will hear my voice. And they will become one flock with one shepherd. Jesus says, if you read on here in John's gospel, my sheep hear my voice. And my question for all of us this morning is, are we hearing the voice of Jesus speaking to us? Are we hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd calling out to us, saying, go this way and you will find safe pasture and food for your souls? My sheep hear my voice. And one of the results of this study at Cambridge, by the way, is they determine that sheep not only can recognize the voice of a person, they can recognize their faces, and they can remember them for as long as 2 years. That's amazing. So the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. And we need to learn to know the voice of our shepherd. Because when we hear his voice, Jesus said, he will know us, and they will follow me. And I will give to them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our shepherd. You are the good shepherd, and you stand in the midst of us this day. And I ask for all of us that you would open our ears, that we would hear your voice calling our name. Give us, Lord, your grace that we might respond to that call, and that we might know that we have received that eternal life, and that no one can snatch us out of his hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.